in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Supernatural night of wonders, can you give the Lord a shout of praise? Hallelujah! You might be seated in high places. Welcome your neighbor to your right, to your left. Say welcome to snow. God gave me a message for you, and then we are going to pray. This is a very, very critical, crucial night. It's a night of destiny. One of the graces, one of the impartations that you should expect tonight, give me Zechariah 12 verse 10, is a mighty outpouring of the spirit of grace and supplication. I see that grace come upon us tonight. We'll pray. This is a word of exhortation. This is a quick charge to prepare you for real business. Because we are here for real business. I say we are here for real business. We left our bed not because we don't like to sleep, but because this one is more important than sleep. Not every night is for sleeping, or else you sleep away your destiny. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone. And that night he wrestled with a man, the angel of the Lord, until the breaking of the day. The angel said, let me go. The guy said, for where? The angel even dislocated the hip joint. This is the most powerful joint in the body. The stability of the human being, your entire stability hinges on the hip joint. He dislocated it, the guy still held. You could see the tenacity, the intentionality. He said, I will not let you go until you bless me, until you activate the blessing of Abraham on my life. Because he was not seeing the manifestation. He said, okay, what is your name? He said, Jacob. Jacob means 419. Jacob means Yahoo Yahoo, trickster, cunning person, deceiver. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and power with men, and hast prevailed. Just one all night business with God, spiritual transaction. Jacob prayed his way from a vagabond, a fugitive, an individual, a trickster, a calling person, to become a nation, a prince with power. He prayed his way to a change of name. Name means identity. Name means destiny. Do you know that it is on the altar of prayer that destinies are altered for good? Are you aware? The spiritual transactions that take place on the altar of prayer have a direct bearing on your life and destiny. The forces are released that shape and determine how your life goes, how far and how fast you go in the school of destiny fulfillment. Even fulfilling God's will and God's plan and purposes for your life is impossible without prayer. Without a vibrant altar of prayer, it's not just preaching that changes people. There are people that go to church, they hear preaching Sunday after Sunday, yet no transformation. It's not just preaching, it is power preaching. Anointed teaching. See, there must be power. And you broker it on the altar of prayer. That's what transforms people. Or else you just like CRK lecture. Am I communicating? Kilo barakata. He said the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. Then he said, power thereof you must not deny. Apostle Paul said one of the signs of the end time. He said there will come a religious generation that we have a form of godliness that we deny the power thereof. Don't deny the power thereof. Christianity is powered by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said they should go and preach after he resurrect. They were wrong. He said, stop, come. No. He said, go and tarry first. He knew, listen, the necessary infrastructure to preach the gospel in order to produce the desired result that heaven wants. For it has to be released before they go. He said, go and tarry in the upper room in Jerusalem until you are endued, clothed. You know the way you are clothed with something? Until you are clothed, as in you sink into it with power from on high. And who brought that power? The Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8 said, but ye shall receive power. Because preaching without power, we cannot change even a rat. Eh? Somebody said, gospel without power is like gossip. If you get people angry, self. Am I communicating? So Jesus never designed, God never designed that the gospel should be preached without the power of the Spirit. Impossible. Impossicant. The gospel is provable by the supernatural. Am I communicating? And to walk in the supernatural as a lifestyle, prayer must become like breathing.
Yes, sir.
Prayer must become your habit. Prayer must become like food to you. Or else, walking in power will be far from you. Glory to God. At the Mount of Transfiguration, in Luke chapter 9, verse 28, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and went up into a high mountain to pray. Not for mountaineering adventures. Not for climbing mountain for what? Hiking. Not hiking. Not for mountain tourism. To pray. Kai. Men of prayer are men of mountains. You mention Mount Sinai. Who comes to your mind? Moses. Man of prayer and fasting. 40 days. How many times did Moses do 40 days prayer and fasting? 3 times. Read your Bible. Some say twice. It's 3 times. Go and read very well. 3 times. He is popular with Mount Sinai. You come to Elijah. Which mountain is he known for? Mount Carmel. Is that not where he climbed? Where he went to pray when he needed to activate the prophecy about rainfall? He put his head between his knees in 1 Kings 18:41-46. And there is a posture for serious prayer. And then he began to do business with God. He began to change the spiritual climate. Am I communicating? Men of prayer, they regulate the spiritual thermostat over territories, over cities, over nations. They regulate the spiritual weather and climate. You can become a spiritual meteorologist. Paul attire. He said Elias was a man of like passion. He didn't come from Jupiter. He was a man of like passion. He came in this human body like you. But He did what was unnatural through prayer, but he prayed earnestly that it should not rain. He locked up the heavens by his operating spiritual laws of prayer. He put the key in his back pocket, was strolling around. Ahab was angry with him, looking for him everywhere. After 3.5 years, suddenly he appeared to Obadiah. Obadiah was sent by King Ahab to go and look for green pasture so that all the remaining animal will not die, because the farmer had no food again. And then suddenly my guy showed up. You know, Elijah was a man of the spirit. He moved by the teleportation of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, that was how he moved. He would just appear suddenly. That was how he met Obadiah. Obadiah met him. Obadiah said, is it you, my master? He said, I swear, there is no kingdom that King Ahab have not sent to look for you. Because he knew that you were the one that caused this famine. And why did he cause it? Because Israel was given to idolatry, sponsored by Ahab. Ahab, the Bible says, Ahab excelled in wickedness above all the kings before him. He had turned the heart of the whole nation after Baal. Ahab married the daughter of Ethbaal, Jezebel. Look at the demonic priesthood in the land. Jezebel was eating with 450 prophets of Baal on a dining table with another 400 prophets of groups. That is 850 demonized priests. That's the kind of woman she was. Kaligo Balakataya. You could see a demonic priesthood in the land. That was what was sponsoring the darkness in Israel. And Elijah read in the law of Moses that anytime they turn to idol worship, the heaven is permitted to be locked. And that was what sponsored his prayer. You see, successful prayer is always based on the word. That's why if you are ignorant of God's word, you will be having F9 in your prayer life. You chop F9. Bible says, he that turneth his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Proverbs. He that turneth his ear from hearing the law of God's word. Because the word of God is the legal language of prayer. The word of God is a constitution in the kingdom of God. So you argue your case based on the relevant scriptural word provision. Am I communicating? You argue your case before the just God according to the relevant scriptural provision, according to the constitution of the kingdom. Poleke Tobaya. He says, bring forth your strong point. He said, present your case, plead your cause. Pali koba kataya. I like the way somebody put it. He said, prayer without the word is like trying to shoot gun without bullet. The word is a bullet. The prayer is a gun. You can pull the trigger. If there is no bullet, can you scare anybody? That's why demons are not afraid of the prayers of some Christians. They know you are just wasting time, because it's bankrupt of word revelation. But when they meet people like us, like you, they know there is bullets. They will advise themselves, oh boy, take off. This one are AK-47. When they fire, you go become 49. This one are rocket propelled grenade. That's why when I want to do some prayer, I'm not in a hurry to pray. I will first get my evidence, my proof. Because you don't win cases in court because you can speak Queen's English. Is that how you win cases? The only thing the judge wants to hear is evidence. Present evidence. Cases are decided for or against upon the testimonies, evidences provided by witnesses. Am I communicating? And the word of God is the evidence. So I'll first enter the word. I will ask myself, are there scriptural provision for me to argue and win my case? I search in the constitution of the kingdom. Once I see, just three don't do. Two, three is okay. Is it in the mouth of two or three witness? I've got two, three witness. You don't do. Any other one are extra. Then you now put that bullet inside one. You now crack it. Balakata. You understand? Ready to shoot. Now so, are you getting me? That's how it is. Because in prayer, you are returning God's word back to him. Mixed with faith for performance. God cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his word. Because him and his word, they are one and the same. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. Am I communicating? Can you imagine? I've not entered my message. The battery rams of intercession. You will pray tonight too. The battery rams of prayer and intercession. Shabaleko vrakatas karabagadaya. Somebody say which one be battery rams. You will soon know. The battery rams of what? Of prayers and intercession. Kilo baraska teke broskatai. Don't ever forget this message, oh. You need to re-listen to it again and again and again. The battery, right? Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 1. Ezekiel 4. Ezekiel 4, 1. It said, thou also, son of man, take thee a tile and lay it before thee and portray upon it the city. This is how you take over cities. This is how you take over territories. So this is how you take over nations. It's a portray upon, in other words, draw the city, even Jerusalem. Next verse, verse 2. It says, and lay siege against it, and build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it. It says, set the camp also against it, and set what? Help me. Set what? What's the title of this message? The battery rams of prayer in the church. It says, set battery rams against it round about. Give me Ezekiel 21, 22. Let me take some scriptures and then we'll take off from there. It says, Ezekiel 21, 22, at his right hand was a divination for Jerusalem to appoint captains, to open the mouth in the slaughter, to lift up with shouting, to appoint what? Battering rams against the gates. Ketobalatia. Against the gates. Gates lead to cities. Gates lead to nations. Cities are gated. Nations are gated. Am I communicating? You say, look at it. The way to bring down the gate. He said, what? Appoint battery rams against it. That's all you use to demolish and break down every gate and break down every wall. Am I communicating? You know, in those days, in ancient times, in building a city, the most important parts are the gates and the wall. Because they are the greatest line of defense. The defense of a city in those days is dependent on the state of the gate and the state of the wall. That's why you hear the Bible talked about that Jericho was straightly shut. The gate was such that there is no way the children of Israel can enter. The walls were so thick. You remember the walls of Jericho? That people's houses were on the walls. It's because they use it for defensive purposes. The stronger, the more concrete the wall, the more defended the city is against enemies. The stronger and taller the gate, the safer the particular city or territory, such that it becomes impenetrable to enemies. So they use gates and walls for defense. But there is a technology in those days they used to bring down walls and gates. And that's the battering rams. Don't worry, I will show you the picture of battering rams. Give me Ezekiel 26 verse 9. The walls of Jericho were so thick that Ahab the prostitute, her house was on top of the wall. Can you imagine? The Bible scholar said the width was so wide that six chariots, each spanning 6 meters, can ride side by side on the walls of Jericho. That's to tell you how wide the width was. Rahab's house was on it. Now tell me, which military formula can you use to take over? That's it. That was why the Holy Ghost had to give them idea. The counsel of the Spirit. Okay, Ezekiel 26 verse 9. He said, he shall set engines of war. Engines of war against thy walls. And with what? With his axes, he shall break down thy towers. Give me the translation that uses battery rams instead of engine. Now let me define what a battery ram is. Look for the translation that uses battery ram instead of engine. A battery ram is a military engine. In those days, is a military engine consisting of a large beam. Okay, thank you. Can you see Ezekiel 26 verse 9, New Living Translation? It will pound your walls with what? It will pound your walls with what? In other words, it will break down your defense. This is the military weapon, military equipment, engine, those days, that they use in warfare to breach the walls of defense, to break down gates and walls and take over cities, take over the fort. Am I communicating? So I say a battery ram now. Okay, before then, a battery ram is a military engine consisting of a large beam with the head of a iron, which was sometimes made to resemble the head of a ram. It was suspended by ropes to a beam supported by posts and balanced so as to swing backward and forward, and was impelled by men against the wall. The battering rams were first invented by the Assyrians. It was even the Assyrians that invented it in the 19th century BCE. It was used to breach and break down the defense walls and gates of cities during military warfare and takeover operation. They besieged the city. Now, can we have some of the pictures? I think I have a few of the pictures. So, some of you are wondering, can you see this? This is a picture of a battery ram. Can you see the head that looks like a ram? They will keep, boom, boom, batter. They will keep battering the wall and the gate with it. Am I communicating? In those days, this is a singular, most important war weapon. When they are going for war, they know that there is no way they can penetrate the gate or wall of the city. That's a defense. They can't breach the defense if they don't have this weapon. It was more important to them than bow and arrow. Am I communicating? So, you see, can you see military guys during war? Can you see them? Can you see them using the battery ram to break down the wall of defense? Can you see the enemies trying to kill them up there because they saw them coming with the battery ram? Next. Any other one? Okay. Is still the picture of the battery ram in different format. Now I have a little video. Can you play it at 1 minute 30 something second? Can you play us that video? You see how the battery ram is being used. Are you ready?
Nowadays, we often think of battering rams as the heavy-duty devices that law enforcement use to break into the homes of suspects. But these are minuscule in comparison to the original designs that were used during ancient times. Back then, there were very few ways to effectively break through the defensive walls of cities, so when a siege, the attacking force needed something powerful to smash through the masonry or the thick wooden gates, essentially. And at their simplest, they were huge logs that were suspended on ropes so they could be swung back to generate enough momentum to swing forward and exert a huge force on the target. Because of their weight, stone and wooden structures are weak in tension, so applying a sideways force on them would at first cause cracks that could then be exploited to cause the walls to crumble. The use of battering rams did, however, make troops vulnerable to attack by the defensive forces, so the later designs became far more complicated. They incorporated canopies that were both arrowproof and fireproof to protect the people operating them and allow the rams to be used much earlier on in the battle than had been possible previously. Eventually, the weapons became obsolete with the introduction of gunpowder and projectiles, but until that point, they were one of the most effective pieces of equipment on the battlefield.
Okay, thank you. Now, in ancient time and in medieval period, you see the use of battering rams as a major, major military equipment and weapon. Ever till today, sir, there are still, I think, some police and firefighters still use it. Whenever they want to break into some people's house, you understand, to help, to rescue people, and they don't want to shoot, they don't want to kill anybody, they use battering rams. Even till today, they still use it. Am I communicating? Now, give me Isaiah chapter 24, verse 12. It says, in the city is left desolation, and the gate is what? Smitten with destruction. Give me the translation that brings out battering rams there. I think there's a translation that brings out battering rams. Just check. Okay, good. The city is left in ruins, its gate what? Battered down. Listen, I don't know the doors that have refused to open for you in the first quarter of this year. I don't know the gates that have been shut against you, that has denied you entrance into certain territories, into this city. The gates and the doors and the walls of Jericho that is standing between you and your answer, that is standing between you and your promised land, that is preventing you, all those hindering walls, all those resistances and barriers, I'm telling you, it is with the battering rams of prayer and this intercession that we break them down tonight. I say all those walls, they come crashing down tonight. And every door is open tonight. They are opening tonight. They are opening tonight. Those gates, they are broken to pieces. He says, I will open before you the two leaf gates. He said, he has broken the gate of brass. He has cut bars of iron asunder. I'm telling you, you are stepping into your next level. Stepping into your next season. All those walls, they are breaking. They are breaking. They are broken to pieces. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. From verse 4. Give me verse 4 first. Okay, leave it at 5. Leave it at 5. Leave it at 5. The prelude to this was during the persecution of the church by the wicked King Herod. He stretched forth his hand to vex, to kill certain of the church. And the Bible said he killed James the apostle. And then he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter, put him in maximum security prison between four quaternions. One quaternion is how many soldiers? Four. Four quaternion is how many? 16 soldiers. Imagine 16 soldiers guiding just one man. But look at what happened. The Bible says Peter therefore was kept in prison. Somebody say, but. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Intercession. This is like the picture of the battering ram. Am I communicating? This kind of sustained continuous prayer, sustained continuous intercession, this is how you take over territory. So this is how Ayagaligo Brakatai, you catalyze revival and the move of God. Am I communicating? Revivals don't just happen. The move of God, the outpouring of the Spirit over territories, over families, over regions, etc., they don't just happen. Am I communicating? They are catalyzed by men and women of prayer and intercession. The outpouring of the Spirit, mighty move of God, revival, they always happen in response to men that partner with God in prayer. Yielded vessels. Am I communicating? But prayer was made without ceasing. The church kept battering. They kept battering. You know the way you use a battering ram to hit the wall? That was what they were doing. You know. Am I communicating? And let's see the result. When we pray, things happen. If you know the enormous spiritual implication of prayer and intercession, you will become more serious engaging in them. I'm telling you, you start taking them more seriously. You will start investing not just quality time, but quantity time. There are some results that you must invest not just quality time, but what? Quantity time in prayer. Extended period of protracted prayer. It is in prayer we change skin. You know the way snake change skin? We drop scales. Kali boko tire. He says they shall mount up with wings as eagle. The way the eagle renew their strength, they come back with new speed, with new beaks, with new feather, new everything. When they are done renewing their strength on the mountain, and then they even live longer. Let's see the result of the prayer. And when Herod will have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Can you imagine? They were before. And next verse, watch this. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. When we pray, we activate the ministry of angels. Listen, anywhere prayer takes place in a consistent manner over a period of time, that place becomes an altar. And an altar is like an interface between human beings and spirit beings. An altar is like a meeting point. Am I communicating? There is usually a high level spiritual traffic on every altar, whether angels or demons, depending on who the altar is erected towards. There are demonic altars, there are divine altars. Am I communicating? It's just like some people that they pack into a new house, and they did not pray, nothing. They didn't even make research to find out what the house was used for before, what the land was used for. Then they enter the house, and then somebody said, just receive slap, poah! A spirit just poah! Ah! headache. Before you know, you find, they carry the person to the hospital. The doctors are still looking for what is wrong. They do MRI, they do CT scan. God, you don't see those, you don't see demons on CT scan. Am I communicating? Before you know, somebody will sleep, they'll fire arrow, poah, hit the chest. Before you know, my chest. And then when you begin to investigate, you don't know that that land they built the house was a graveyard before they converted it to a residential quarter. Or that place was a meeting place of occultic people, or a native doctor shrine was there. Now you need to understand that, listen, you can relocate physical buildings, but you cannot relocate altars. The demons are, they're still there. Those ones, they don't relocate. Once an altar is built, it is there. The only way to deal with them is with a higher power, fire power. Am I communicating? To erect another altar. Just like God told Gideon, he said, go and throw down your father's altar in the night. And then, you know, he did it in the night because of fear, to do it during the day. And then he said, build another altar in its place unto the Lord. There are also divine altars. Like I always tell people, you know, the place we used before, there's an altar there, that College of Accountancy. Even this place, this is an altar. Am I communicating? Somebody may sit down here to write WAEC and open heaven. The thing will just be flowing. He doesn't know what is happening. Because there are angels here too. Any house in which they normally pray together, devotion consistently, you have built an altar unto the Lord in that home. Satan cannot operate and do anyhow there. Am I communicating? So consistency of spiritual activities sustains an altar. And when we pray, angels are released. Remember, Daniel said the angel Gabriel was caused to fly swiftly when he was praying. Am I communicating? Angel activate angelic operation. Prayers activate what? Angelic operation. So when the church interceded, heaven responded by releasing the angel of the Lord to bring about deliverance for Peter. And he put Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off his hand. Next verse. Every chain that has held you bound, I'm telling you tonight, those chains are falling off every part of it. Falling off from your life. No power, no force can hold you down, chain down anymore. He said, the angel of the Lord said unto him, guard thyself, bind on thy sandals, and so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Verse 9. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true. It was too good to be true. Somebody said divine coincidences. Divine coincidences and occurrences, they don't just happen haphazardly. They don't happen by luck. They are orchestrated in the place of prayer. Am I communicating? They are programmed through prayer. He thought he was seeing a vision. He didn't know it was real. Next verse. When they were past what? The first and the second word, they came unto, somebody say, iron gate. They came to the iron gate. And remember, the technology in those days they used to deal with gates is the battering ram, right? And that is a type and a shadow of prayer and intercession. That the church in verse 5, they were using the battering ram to scatter the gate. So now when Peter came to the gate, iron gate that leaded unto the city, what happened? Which opened to them of his own accord. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Through the battering ram of intercession, they have scattered the gate in the spirit. So Peter could walk like this, pass it. Kaliboko Sabatia. This is a takeover strategy. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the what? The people of the Jews. Somebody say the battering rams of intercession. This is how we take over cities. This is how we crack this city. Listen, no city is hard. No city is hard. No land is hard. When you have the right tools, battery rams of prayer and intercession. This is what you use to crack and break down the city defense. You use to break down and crack the gates that lead to cities. And break down doors that lead to rooms and houses. Am I communicating? Sheleko frekete. When they put Paul and Silas in the prison, Acts chapter 16. Give me Acts 16, verse 20, 25. What did they do? They were complaining. They were holding pity party. What did they do at midnight? Talk to me. What did they do? They used these battering rams of prayer. They prayed and sang praises unto God. Now listen, let me explain what happened there, because some people don't really understand the connection. Watch this. This was what they did. They started with prayer. They engaged the battering ram of prayer. They were breaking the door of the prison in the spirit. And then when they prayed and prevailed in the spirit and got the note of victory, they prayed until they prevailed in the spirit. They prayed until what? They broke through. You know, in the 90s, the old timers, they call it push. Pray until something happens. That's, you pray until you break through in the spirit, until you prevail in the spirit and get the note of victory. That was what Paul and Silas did. And one of the ways you know that you have broken through, you have prevailed in the spirit, you have gotten the note of victory, is that the burden will be lifted. And then songs of praise will start welling up in the loins of your spirit. And then that was how they switched to praise. Can you see? So it's not that they pray small and stop and then start singing praises the way many people think. They prayed until they prevail in the spirit. They use the battery ram of prayer to scatter the door, and then when they have broken through, they started praising God. Ayakabalata. Too little combination. And you know, praise is the highest level of prayer, because the highest form of asking is thanking. The highest form of supplication is what? Appreciation. So they switched to praise after they had obtained the note of victory. And then what happened? Look at what happened next. The prisoner heard them, verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Kaligo barakataya. So that the foundations of the prison were shaking, and immediately all doors are opening for you tonight. I just saw for somebody, door of promotion is opening for you tonight. For another person, door of spiritual power and authority
dimension, a heavier dimension of authority and power in the spirit, a heavier weight of unction. That door is opening for you tonight. He said, all doors were opened, doors of increase, doors of progress, doors of prosperity, doors of the anointing, doors of fresh grace, fresh oil. In the name of Jesus, financial doors are opening. He said, all doors. Kito lege barakataya. Jelly Brondo Sofeteke Baladia. Doors of revelation, doors of understanding, doors of wisdom, doors of prayer. Alada Kilo Freketea. The spirit of prayer and supplication is resting upon somebody in a heavier weight. He said, all doors were open. Doors of favor are opening for you. Doors of progress, success, and greatness is opening for you. Listen, tonight, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, no door we escape this firepower. The power of the Holy Ghost is blasting open every door that has been shut against you. Doors of employment are opening. I'm telling you, doors of employment are opening. Get ready for miracle jobs. Doors of admission are opening. You are getting your admission finally. Doors, international, I just said international doors are opening. That contract, that visa, that international passport, international doors, even your business, international doors are opening. I say international doors, expatriate customers, foreign customers, international customers, they are patronizing your business. Doors are opening in high places. I see somebody receiving scholarship abroad. I see a door for scholarship in the UK, in the US, in Canada. I decree that door is opening for you now. He said all doors were open. All. Somebody say all. And everyone's bands were loosed. I don't know where they have caged you, where they have imprisoned you. I don't know the chains on your hands and on your foot that has limited you. Listen, every band, every chain, the Bible says it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be lifted. Whose burden? Satan's burden shall be lifted from off thy shoulder, and the yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed by reason of the anointing. I announce to you with a voice of thunder that by the power of the Holy Ghost, every chain, every band, every limiting yoke over your life, over your family, chains on your leg, bands on your hand and foot, by the fire power of the Holy Ghost, they are destroyed. Nothing will limit your progress, your success anymore. In the name of Jesus. Even the yoke and chain of addiction, they are breaking tonight. Addiction to sinful lust. Addiction to pornography, masturbation. Addiction to smoking, to drinking, alcoholism. Addiction to hard drugs, addiction to marijuana, to cocaine, to crack, I don't care. Every form of addiction, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, says all doors were open and all chains, every band were loosed. I don't know, I've seen so many people, they've tied down your money. Akila Sabatia, they tie, not just individual, I'm seeing families that they tie down your finance, they tie down your money, they tie down your family finance, they tie down your income, and it looks as if something has happened to your financial flow. The money is not flowing like it is supposed to flow. The incomes are not coming. People just keep promising you, we'll give you the money. We'll give you. Listen, by the anointing of the one, whatever has held back your money, whatever has tied down your money, whatever has held down every force, every power that has held down your money, that has tied down your finances, tied down your family's financial progress, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I decree and declare, they are loosed. I command your money to be loosed now. I command a speedy release. I release your money. I release your finances. I release your family finances. I release it into your hands now. I release it into your bank account. I release it into your pocket now. Receive your miracle money in the name of Jesus. Cycle of satanic stagnation, every negative cycle of evil occurrences, every negative cycle of calamities and tragedies, every negative cycle of sickness, of pain, of regret, of chronic losses, by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I come with a rod of power and authority, and I decree and declare that evil negative cycle is broken. It is broken. No more losses, no more failure and frustration. That evil negative cycle is broken. No more tragedies and calamities. No more pain, sorrow, and weeping. Jesus, that demonic delay, the yoke is broken. That satanic stagnation, that yoke is broken. I command speedy acceleration. I push you forward prophetically. I command speedy advancement. I release the anointing of speed in the name of Jesus. The battery rams of prayer and intercession. Listen, sit down. Kelabataya. We talk about the battery rams of prayer and intercession. We are talking about persistence and perseverance in prayer. Persistence and perseverance in prayer with intensity and tenacity. Somebody say intensity. With intensity and tenacity until you prevail in the spirit, until you break through and get the final note of victory. The old timers in the 90s call it push. Pray until something happens. We are talking about sustained continuous prayer. Sustained continuous prayer. We are talking about soul travail. Bible says, you shall see the travail of his soul and be pleased. We are talking about soul travail. Give me Isaiah 66 verse 8. It says, who had heard such thing?
Shall a nation be born one day? Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? He's asking a rhetorical question. Look at it. He said, for as soon as Zion is prophetic of the church, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. As soon as Zion travailed, he's talking about soul travail, travailing prayer. He's talking about the battering rams of prayer and intercession. Sustained, continuous prayer. Prayer with sustained intensity. Kaligo Balakidas. Listen. In the kingdom, there is no such thing as conversion. I know we use new convert, but it's not technically correct. Souls are only bettered into the kingdom. Galatians 4:19, what does it say? My little children that converted into the kingdom. What did it say? My little children for whom I travail again. The word I want you to take note is again. Again. Somebody say again. Give me an amplified. Until Christ be formed in you. When he say again, that means he traveled before. You can't talk about again if there was no before. That means he engaged in that activity before in order to bet them into the kingdom. Now he's traveling again for Christ to be formed in them. That's for them to develop Christ-like character. For them to have ripe character. Am I communicating? For their spiritual growth and maturity. It's not enough that you are teaching people and discipling them for them to grow. It must be coupled with prayer. It's a combo of prayer and the word that makes people mature. Am I communicating? The journey of spiritual growth and maturity is a combination of prayer and interceding for the people. Teaching them the word and interceding for them. Because like I said, it is power preaching and anointed teaching that transforms people. My little children, for whom I'm again suffering bed pangs. Somebody say bed pangs. The picture here is labor pain. A woman in labor. That is how you birth, just like a woman in labor, give birth to a child. When you see a woman in labor, she's not smiling. As a medical doctor, I've been privileged to catch so many babies in the labor ward, to take deliveries. When women are in labor, they are not smiling. Have you seen a woman in labor and she's chatting? Instagram. Checking Facebook profile. Timeline. When a woman is in labor, she has only one point agenda to push out that baby. She doesn't even care about her nakedness. Nurse will say, madam, put your leg where? That's not what priority at that point. So women be abusing their husbands. I'm telling you, so we'll be cursing their husbands. God punish you. The husband is there doing their hand like, hey, darling, sorry, it will soon be over. Get out! Not be you, cause I'm. You understand? No woman is smiling when she is in labor because of the labor pain. The agenda is to push out the baby. Am I coming to give birth to that baby, safe and sound? That is how it is. You birth souls into the kingdom that way. That's why I said technically we shouldn't call it conversion. It is childbirth. Souls don't just cross over from kingdom of darkness to light. Somebody must engage in what? Soul travail, travailing prayer in intercession to bet them into the kingdom. They don't cross over, they are betted. They are not converted to the kingdom, they are all betted. Says suffering bed pang until Christ. You bet them, then you engage in traveling prayer again until Christ is completely and permanently formed, molded within them. Am I communicating? This is very important. Very important. Or else you will keep having carryover for you start keep having carryover in intercession. Sorry, in soul winning. Before you reach out to any souls, you should have what? Interceded for them. Now listen, I said it earlier. There are no hard problems. No problem is a difficult, is too difficult a nut to crack if you have the right tools. And if you understand the battering rams of prayer and intercession, you can crack every problem. You can solve it. There are no hard persons. There are no hard bosses to deal with. When you have the right tools. Luke chapter 18. Can you remember the story of the unjust judge? Is he not a hard man? Is he not a hard man? Talk to me. Luke 18. I said there are no hard people. No matter how wicked and unreasonable the person is, there is a way to handle them. Shale kobara kataya. I say Luke 18. Luke 18 from verse 1. The Bible says, Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end. Men ought always, somebody say always, not sometimes, to pray and not to faint. Ought always, give me an amplified. I like the way amplified put it. Somebody say always. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says pray without ceasing, right? And don't go there, oh. Pray without ceasing. He said men ought always to pray and not to turn coward, not to faint. So you are either praying or you are fainting. He that fails to pray will soon faint. Because he said if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And guess what? The day of adversity must come to everybody. They come to test your strength level. And you gather strength in the place of prayer. You renew your strength in the place of prayer, even before the adversity comes, so that you don't faint. He said, men ought always to pray, not to turn coward, not to faint, not to lose heart, not to give up, not to lose heart. People give up too easily. They get discouraged too easily. A person of prayer does not easily get discouraged, because in the place of prayer you rise above discouragement. Am I communicating? You rise above all those depression, all the this. Kaleboko satire. He said, rise like an edifice, higher and higher. You don't give up your faith. You know, some people say they are standing in faith and then they give up easily. Small, after a while, they give up. You know why? No energy to stand in faith. Where do you get the energy from? It's from the place of prayer. You can keep standing on the word for as long as it will take until you see manifestation. When you have enough energy and you get that energy from the place of prayer. Am I communicating? Then verse 2. Luke 18 verse 2. Now you can go back to King James. It is saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Can you see? Who can be harder than this man? He does not fear God. I said there are no hard people when you have the right tools. Let's see how the widow, how come she was able to what? Win the case. How come she was able to make this hard man to listen to her and do what she wanted, to do her bidding. Kito barakataya. Next verse. There was a widow in that city. She came unto him saying, She was seeking for justice. Avenge me of my adversary. Possibly this adversary was the person that killed her husband. She was demanding for justice. He said, avenge me. Next verse. Verse 4. And he will not for a while. He will not. So, in other words, he said no. She came today. He said no. Tomorrow, no. Listen. No can become yes. When I read this story, I realized every no can become yes. When you understand the battery ram of prayer, you can make it. The Bible said the heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord. Have you not read it? Proverbs 21 verse 1. The heart of a king, including this wicked judge, is in the hand of the Lord. And like a water course, God can what? Direct it. God can influence Amayalabalataya. When you learn to do business with God, the Father of Spirits, He knows how to what? Move that water course in your favor. To make even a wicked person to favor you. In the Bible, there is one man called Evil One King. The guy's name has the prefix Evil. Evil Merodach. He showed the king of Judah favor. I'll show you that scripture one of these days. See, when God Kaligo Barakataya, when God command people, they will favor you. Didn't a raven commanded by God, didn't he feed the prophet during famine when men became scarce? God's method are men, but when God couldn't find man, he commanded a raven. Of all the birds in the world, God didn't command sparrow or dove or quail. It was raven. Raven is a very greedy bird. Raven, that bird like food. It is said that it can even kill human being. Remove human eye and eat when they are hungry. They kill their fellow bird to eat when they are hungry. When you see greedy people giving to you, it's a telltale sign of favor. The favor of God can even make greedy people. They may not like your face, but they can explain what is making them to help you, because they are commanded by heaven. Palatabakasaya. Somebody here, I'm telling you, in this second quarter of the month, in this new month, you will receive the kind of favor that will bring tears to your eyes. This time is not tears of sorrow, it's called tears of joy. The kind of favor you have never received in your life, you will receive it in this second quarter of the month. You will receive favor from far and near. You will receive favor from unexpected and expected places. You will receive favor from expected and unexpected people. People in high places. People in quarters that matter. The cream and la cream of the society. God has commanded them to favor you. They will favor you. For you and favor you in the name of Jesus. For a while, this wicked judge will not answer her for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. Next verse. Yet because this widow troubleth me, Ayakabalataya, I will avenge her. Can you see? No has become yes. Through the power of persistence in prayer. What do you mean by no? Katakidoba. See, when you learn the principle of persistence in prayer with intensity and tenacity, you will interpret every no you hear as wait. You will interpret no as a waiting result. Yes, they tell you no, you go to apply for job, they say no, visa no, this one no, contract no, business. You will be interpreting it as a waiting result. Then you go back and continue. You keep battering. Somebody say batter. You keep ramming. You keep battering. You keep ramming. You come again. They say no. He said, oh, that means it has, the job has not been completed. You keep battering. You keep battering those walls, those opposing walls, those gates, those doors. Because, you know, those people, listen, I was reading about how they batter some walls. Do you know those soldiers? It is said that they even take shift. Like, let's say this battalion can batter for 6 hours, then they will shift, another battalion will batter. Sometimes they will batter for days before the wall will come down. Sometimes they keep battering and ramming. In fact, one of the longest walls took 3 months for it to come down. Yet they don't give up. Why? Because they know that if they continue like this, consistency. Somebody say the power of consistency. Because they know the thing is cracking from inside. They are weakening the defense. They know that with this persistence of action, that wall must come down one day. So they don't give up. You know why many Christians don't pray for long? They don't truly believe in prayer. They don't believe it works. If you believe that this thing they work, I'm telling you, you will stand your ground. You will keep battering until those opposing walls come down. Am I communicating? Yes, Palataya. It's not that it takes that long for God to hear, but it takes that long to break every wall of opposition from the kingdom of darkness. Barriers. To Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. The revival that broke out in Ephesus, that closed down the school of magic and sorcery, that they were burning their books. Before that revival took place, Paul was teaching in the school of one Tyrannus during the day for two years, non-stop, daily teaching. But in the night, Paul was engaged in spiritual warfare. He said, I fought with what? Beast at Ephesus. So he will be wrestling with the principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness over that territory in the night. In the daytime, he will be disputing in the school of one Tyrannus. He continued like that for 2 years, daily meeting. And you see a perfect model of the end time revival in that Acts 19. It's a perfect blend of the word of God and prayer, the word and the spirit. By the time Paul combined those two forces, the revival broke out. The Bible says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It took 2 years before Paul could what? Prevail in the spirit and get the note of victory. So the rule is keep battering, keep ramming until you what? You prevail. Until you completely break every wall. You completely shatter and melt, level every mountain of opposition and barrier. Until you break down those walls and doors and gates, etc. that are standing between you and your answer. Am I communicating? Just like this persistent widow, the Bible says she kept coming. Go back to it. She kept coming until she kept coming. She persisted. The power of persistence. You see, through persistence, you weary every opposition. Do you know this is a formula Satan is using to win in spiritual warfare against many Christians? Just sheer persistence. So he knows that many Christians easily give up. So the devil will persist for a while and then he will win. I heard a story of a bulldog. One small little bulldog. That was living opposite another very giant one. Another giant dog like that, that is bigger than the small bulldog. The small one will come out in the morning, come out of his gate, the gate of his house, and go to engage the other big dog in a fight. Somebody say audacity. The big dog will deal with the small dog, bite the dog, he will shout, "Hey!" Deal with him, and then the small dog will run and go back. But the following day, the small dog will leave his house and come again and engage the big dog for a fight in his own house. The big dog will deal with the small dog. He will cry and the small dog will run, the small bulldog. The following day, the small dog will come. Almost at the same time, somebody say consistency. Somebody say persistence. Do you know that continued for like, is it 7 days? Then every single day the big dog was winning, until one day the big dog in the morning, he saw the small dog coming again at the same time for a fight. The big dog started running from the small dog. He don't tire to fight. And who won the competition finally? Somebody said the power of persistence. Through persistence, you weary every opposition. He said, by a listen, even if you don't know anybody, I beg, no prayer. Look, let me ask you a question. How did a breakthrough come? This widow, was it through connection? Did she know somebody that knows the king? Did she know somebody that knows somebody that can talk to the king in her favor? She did not have any human connection, but she has connection to the monarch of the universe. She used her heavenly connection. He said she will weary me. And then verse 6. And the Lord said, from this story, look at what Jesus said. Hear what the unjust judge said. Verse 7. It says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, Ayagabataya, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? That's to tell you, he said this story to illustrate the power of what? Persistent prayer. Persisting in prayer until you prevail. The battery rams of prayer. Am I communicating? Shalekovrakataya. Remember Azusa Street revival. Remember the Welsh revival. How long did Evans Robot, how long did he pray before he prevailed in the spirit and got the note of victory? How long did he pray? 13 solid years. Is it because it took 13 solid years before God answered? No. But it took 13 solid years for him to prevail over those demonic personalities, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness that are over the territory of the nation called Wales. It took that long for him to prevail over the flesh, over Satan, over the world. Am I communicating? He kept battering, he kept ramming. Year 1, year 2, year 3, he kept battering. 3, 4, 5, until he completely scattered all those opposing walls. And then there was a mighty move. Such a revival that the Bible, church history, they tell us that during the revival in Wales, Calabaya, police stations were empty. Judges and magistrates, they didn't have work again because there were no criminals. Everybody became moral. Amusement parks and sport hall and football pitch and all of that, they were empty. All the entertainment were found in God's presence. Wales was supposed to host FIFA World Cup that year. They had to relocate to another country because they said because of national lack of interest in sport, they had to change it. Am I communicating? During the revival in Wales, there were no more prostitutes at red light districts. No more prostitutes. Shalabataya. The revival brought about reformation and transformation in the society. Everybody became moral. Shulabakata. So it was not just within the four walls of the church. The presence of God came and turned over the glory of God. The whole nation of Wales was immersed in the glory of God. Am I communicating? It is said that between the hours of 1 to 5 a.m. for a period of how many years, how many months, like is it 6 months or so, 3 months, I've forgotten how many months, between 1 to 5 a.m. Evans Robot, we pray, and the prayer was simple: oh God, bend us, Kaya. And he will be having encounters, he will be carried to heaven. Oh God, bend us. Not too much English. In prayer, your heart carries more weight than even your words. The transaction, the burdens in your heart, it speaks loud volume, even more than what you are saying with your mouth. Can you remember Anna? The Bible said she prayed and poured out her soul until she was just mumbling some incomprehensible sound, until the priest thought that she was drunk with wine. She was actually drunk, but not physical wine. She was drunk in the spirit. Am I communicating? See, we'll soon pray. When it is time to pray, pray. Because there are walls that must come down. There are walls that must come crashing down tonight. The battery rams of prayer and intercession is cracking down and completely breaking down walls and barriers standing between you and your next level. Kalabato Sakabataya. Are breaking down the walls of this city. Monte Kebalakataya. He says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night? How many of you have heard about the move of God and the massive revival in Solomon Island? How many of you have heard of Solomon Island? Do you know Solomon Island before? The people there, the natives of that island, they are cannibals. The initial missionaries that went to preach to them, they used them as barbecue, suya. They ate them. Imagine you are the one God spoke to. Go and do missionary work there. Some of you will disobey God's voice, so you will not go out of fear. They were eating missionaries alive, using them for barbecue. Until this set of missionaries that changed the game came up. When God sent them to Missionary Island, you know what they did? They started with the battery rams of intercession. Before physically they took their journey there, they started interceding for the land. They started praying, battering and ramming Solomon's Island in the realm of the spirit. They were praying, interceding, praying and fasting for days. Days turned into months, weeks turned into months. And then by the time they got the note of victory, and before they got the note of victory, they met 87 brick walls when they were praying and interceding. Somebody say 87. You know, there are times that you are praying and you are meeting brick walls. You've not been there. It's as if it's war. Now it's not that type of prayer or fellowship you are enjoying. Oh, Holy Spirit, you're having goosebumps, emotional high. That's not the type I'm talking here. I'm talking on warfare prayer. Yeah, you are praying. It's as if you are fighting. You could feel the resistance in your spirit. They prayed, they overcame 87 brick walls in the spirit before they got the victory. So when they traveled physically to Solomon's Island, they saw them, hey, who are these people? They arrested them. They took them. They said the only person that can give them permission to preach here is the head of the land, the king. And the king was sick. So they came. They said, let them pray for the king that is sick, that Jesus is going to heal him. They prayed for the king. The king got healed by the power of God. And the king, after he got healed, after a while, the king died. They say, the people say, they have killed our king. They carry them. They were going to kill them. Then the king came back to life. Then news came to them that the king has come back to life. The king said, go and tell those people that they shouldn't kill those people. Bring them, bring them. The king then, he said, when he died, he had an encounter. He saw Jesus. He said he saw a man in white. And the man spoke to him that, you see those missionaries that came? He said, these people came with good news to save your land. He said, accept them, allow them preach. So that was how the king gave them express permission to preach. And long story cut short, they had the land for Jesus. And when the witch doctor, like the priest of the territory, finally gave his life to Christ, he then explained to them that this Solomon's Island, they have 87 gods. They are 87 demons. How many brick walls did they meet when they were praying before they came? 87. That they had 87 demon gods that rule over this territory. So when they were praying and battering and ramming in the spirit, they were prevailing over them one by one by one by one. 87. They got the victory before they came. Somebody say battering rams. Things don't just happen. They are meant to happen. Have you heard of Tommy Hicks? Tommy Hicks, the revival. Tommy Hicks that sparked up the revival in Argentina some years back. It was initially T.L. Osborne that they invited, the mighty evangelist. You know T.L. Osborne? Moving around in the nation, doing mighty things for God. They saw how God was using T.L. Osborne. The people in Argentina, like their Christian Association, equivalent of CAN in Nigeria. Like the CAN, their own CAN in Argentina. They now wrote a letter that please T.L. Osborne should come and hold crusade in their country so that souls will be saved and all of that. But unfortunately, T.L. Osborne's itinerary was filled up. He couldn't go. And Tommy Hicks was with T.L. Osborne when T.L. Osborne was talking about this. Oh, Argentina people just sent for him. But unfortunately, he won't be able to go. His schedules are filled up. He will be there. He will be somewhere else. Then Tommy Hicks said, Argentina? He said, I will take it up. Then T.L. Osborne said, why not? Say, go ahead. So, Tommy Hicks, they told him that they are going to get a facility that can seat 2,500 people for the meeting. Tommy Hicks did something before he went. He went before the Lord in prayer. He locked up himself for 1 month. 1 month. What was he doing? Somebody say battering rams. This is how you take over territory. So it's not by grammar. It's not by speaking Queen's English. 1 month he locked up himself in prayer, in fasting. When he came out from there, God gave him 2 instructions. God said, when you go there, get a 25,000 seater. That's a hall that can seat 25,000 for the meeting. And then the second instruction is, he said, Peron will help you. That was what God told him in the place of prayer. He said, Peron will help you. He didn't know who Peron was. So he went, he came to Argentina. He told the people, like the Christian Association over there that invited him. They said, we have gotten a facility that will seat 2,500 people. He said, no. He said, God said I should get 25,000. The people shouted, ah! He said, 25 what? He said, there is no facility like that in our place that will seat 25,000 people as at then. They said, the only facility that can seat that number is the stadium. And the only person that can give you permission to use the stadium is the president. And guess who the president is? Peron. And remember, God told him, Peron will help you. Then they said, the problem is, Peron is a communist, anti-Christian president. That he hated Christianity. He's a communist president. He's persecuting the church, in fact. They said, how is that going to be possible? He said, I believe that it shall be as the Lord has told me. Tommy Hicks. He went to the Aso villa to see Peron. He didn't know anybody. He went and stood in front. Somebody say faith. When God speak to you, take action, action step in faith.
Yes, sir.
He went, stood in front of their villa. He said he wants to see Peron. Somebody that saw him in front, he said, Peron. He said, who are you that you want to see Peron? He looked at the man, and he gave, God gave him a word of knowledge about that particular man, that the man was sick. And then he ministered to the man, and the man got healed. The man said, Kai, he said, I will help you see Peron. So the man had influence. So he said, come tomorrow, I will help you see Peron. So he took him to see the president. The moment he saw the president, the man was wondering, who is this person? And then God gave him a warning. He said, are you Mr. Peron? The president didn't answer him. He said, do you have a skin disease? Peron said, what? He said, only two people know that I have skin disease, me and my doctor. So who is this guy? That was a word of knowledge God gave him. So Peron had a skin disease that only him and his doctor treating him knows. Nobody else knows. So he got Peron's attention. Then he asked, who told you? He said, God, the God that sent me. He said, can I pray for you? He said, yes. He prayed for him. Peron got healed. All the skin disease disappeared. Then the Peron said, what can I do? How can I help you? He said, I need that stadium for how many days? 5 days for a crusade. He said, is that all? He said, yes. He said, it's granted. He said, it's granted. And that was how Tommy Hicks held a massive revival crusade in Argentina for 5 solid days. 25. At a point, the whole stadium was packed with overflow. You can go and read about Tommy Hicks and the Argentina revival. Somebody say the battery rams of prayer. Before any Reinhard Bonnke crusade, they go on 40 days prayer and fasting. Somebody say 40 days. No wonder when they make altar call in Reinhard Bonnke crusade, before you even think, you find yourself in front. Once you are not born again, before you think, you find yourself, if as an unserious Christian, you find yourself in front. Praise God. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. One of the things you must cry out to tonight, Father, let the spirit of prayer and intercession, let it mantle my spirit tonight. Oh, let it mantle my spirit. I say there are no hard persons, there are no hard problems, there are no hard grounds, there are no hard cities, there are no hard nations or territory when you have the right tools to break and crack them down and take them over. Palatabako sakataya. Prayer and intercession will open gates to cities. You pray with a God-given burden. You continue in prayer until that burden is lifted and the transaction is completed in the spirit. Listen, there is a labor dimension to prayer. It's not every time that prayer is sweet, you are enjoying goosebumps. See, there is a, give me Colossians 4:12. It says, Epaphras, who is one of you, always laboring. Somebody say labor. Always laboring. There is a labor dimension to prayer. Prayer is labor. We are talking of soul travail. Soul travail. Revival don't just happen, they are catalyzed by prayer. Look at Joel 2:15. He said, let the priest weep in verse 17. If you start reading from verse 15 down to 7, he said, call, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Jump to 17. He says, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, let them weep between the porch and the altar. Somebody say intercession. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, give not thy heritage to reproach. And then you see the response. He said, then Verse 19. Then the Lord will be jealous for the land. Then the Lord will answer. And then I will send you corn, wine, oil. Jump to verse 23. Look, all of these, they are the response to the weeping priest's intercession. Be glad, you children of Zion, rejoice in the Lord your God. He has given you the rain. So the rain is released in response to what? The battering ram of intercession by the weeping priest. He will send you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month, 24. He says, and the floor shall be full of wheat, the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. He's talking of the rain of the Spirit. The rain of revival, the outpouring. Look at verse 28. He said, and it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my Spirit. The outpouring of the Spirit is in response to prayer and intercession. Philippians 1:19, he said, for I know that this shall turn for my what? To my salvation through your prayer and what? The supply of the Spirit of Christ. Prayer will activate the supply of the Spirit. You've read about Father Nash, the partner, the prayer partner of Charles Diffini. Anywhere Charles Diffini is going to hold revival meeting, 2 to 4 weeks ahead, Father Nash will travel and go and just look for a room and rent it, an apartment. And he will be there. He will not come out again until after the meeting. What will he be doing? Somebody says, battery ram of intercession. He will be engaging in travailing prayer. He will groan and travail. It is said that he's a man of very few words. It was, I think they said, he only spoke like 3 times. That it was recorded. It is said that what he said, just three times he said something. He was a man of prayer from back to back. He will be groaning and interceding. He will secure the victory first from the realm of the Spirit over the spiritual climate of that territory. Bow the powers. Wrestle with principalities and powers. Liberate the people in bondage. Shatter the power of darkness. So that by the time Charles Diffini come, a little word here and there, revival will break out. Because somebody has already poured petrol on the ground. Charles Diffini will just come and light the fire. And it is said that the reason why Charles Diffini's revival meeting was successful was because of the partnership of his prayer partner, Father Nash. When Father Nash later died, Charles Diffini revival meeting started recording less and less success. The thing started waning. That's to tell you the importance of prayer. Revivals are catalyzed by prayer and intercession. The same thing with the Azusa Street revival. Who is ready for us to batter this city? Who is ready for us to batter around this city until all the walls of religion come down? The dividing walls of denomination come down. The demonic walls, they are completely broken down. Until we see a mighty move of God in this land, in this nation, in this city. Kaleboko Sabalataya. Elefrendo Sofregidas. Kapatebaya Gabaliga Brakatai. Give me Zechariah 12 verse 10. Are you ready to pray? Zechariah 12 verse 10. One of the number one grace God is releasing today is this grace called the spirit of prayer and supplication. The grace, there is a mighty release of the impartation of the spirit of grace and supplication upon us. I'm telling you, you will see yourself beginning to pray and intercede like never before. I'm telling you, some of you, angels are released to help you. Angels will start waking you up in the night to pray. They will start waking you up during the night watch.
churches. Angelic strengtheners will strengthen you. You may feel weak, don't worry. Angels will strengthen you. The Holy Ghost will strengthen you.
Is that, and I will pour upon the house of AGMI, I will pour upon the house of David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They shall mourn for him as one that mourned for his own son, and for bitterness as one for his firstborn. Now I want you to lift up your voice. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive a fresh baptism, a mighty impartation of the spirit of prayer, the grace for prayer and intercession. Lift up your voice and begin to cry out. I subscribe for a fresh release of the grace, the spirit of grace, the spirit of grace and supplication. Let it rest upon me tonight. Make sure you are praying. He said, as soon as Zion travels, she brought forth her children, my little children, for whom I travel in birth again, until Christ be from the youth. Shalabagadegebregede, randegebakaposebekete. A mighty release of the spirit of prayer and supplication. Malabakasapalakatai. Shalabakata. We are here for real business. We are here for spiritual business. For spiritual transaction. Kalabakondo prekete. It's a day that go down to the sea, that do business in deep waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Manda branda kapas. Those walls are coming down. Those walls of Jericho. Those opposing walls. Those resisting walls. Those hindering walls. They are coming down tonight. Those doors are opening. Those gates, they are breaking. Shalabakondo preketeke balatai. He said, I am the one that sets before you an open door which no man can shut. Those doors are opening tonight. He said, all doors were open. All doors were open. Everyone's band were loose. He said, at midnight, Paul and Silas, they didn't call for pity party. They didn't complain. They didn't grumble. They didn't murmur. They were not offended at God. The Bible said they prayed. They prayed. They prevailed in the spirit. And then they switched to praise. Cry out to God. Father, let the spirit of grace and supplication, let it rest upon me tonight. God is raising intercessors. God is raising intercessors. The grace for intercession. The grace for prophetic intercession is released upon us tonight.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Satlong King or to partner with us, please visit www.agmionline.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 006-530-2610 or 0703-699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.